Hello and welcome, glory to God, for He is good, and happy Sunday, May the 19th. And we are so excited that you are here today with us doing daily devotion as we continue growing in the power and in the love of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. As you can see, we have a new microphone. It's a Shure MV7 Plus. And so, my name is Pastor Josh Pan. And thank you for planting the seeds of the gospel and saving more souls by sharing this video so they can say yes to Jesus forever. Help me throw a thumbs up. Let me know you're here. And glory to God, for He is good. There is no doubt that He is working. And type Jesus forever in the comments so that we can know who is the best, who is the King. It is our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Himself. Amen. How is the microphone working for you guys? Let me see if it is. Oh, still. There. Let's see. Right there. How about that? Much better? There we go. We just changed the microphone. Thank you for the thumbs up, everyone. And welcome. Well, this is going to be the story where we continue on the greatest prophet who ever lived, or one of them. And his name was Elijah. His name is Elijah. And Elijah was coming face off against 800 false prophets, 850 false prophets, which King Ahab summoned so that they can see who is the true God. And so, yes, Jesus forever. Amen, Sydney. Amen, amen. Glory to God. Well, who's going to win? Is it going to be the one righteous prophet, Elijah? Or is it going to be the 850 false prophets of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel? So who is it going to be? We'll be picking off in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 30 to 46. Verse 30 says, Then Elijah said to all the people, Come here to me. And then they came to him, and he prepared the altar of the Lord, which was in ruins. You see, they kicked it down. They knocked his altar down. And then they tried to do everything they could in order to summon their own God to by fire to light up their altar. But the false prophets, they failed to do so. And so now it is Elijah's turn. Yesterday we turned to the false prophets. We were like, where's your God? And he started taunting them and he started making fun of them. It's like, is your God sleeping on vacation or MIA? Where's your God? Is he doing something? What is he doing? And so verse 31 says, Elijah then took 12 stones, one for each one tribe descending from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Your name shall be Israel. And with a stone he built an altar in the name of the Lord, which he dug a trench around a large enough to hold two seahs of seed. And he arranged the wood and cut the bowl into pieces, and he laid it on the wood. And he said to them, Fill four large jars of water with water and pour it on the offering. Pour it on the bowl. Pour it on the altar. And then on the wood, and do it again. He said, don't just do this one time, but bring eight large jars of water. And he said, and then so they did it again, and do it a third time. Whoa, he ordered it. And so they put four more large jugs of water onto it. So the water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. And at the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah, he stepped forward and prayed, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and have done what you have commanded, Lord our God. And answer me, Lord, answer me, so that these people will know that you, O Lord our God, you are God, and that you are turning their hearts back to them again. Amen. And then, verse 38, it says, Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the soil, and it licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate, and they cried, fell on their face, The Lord, He is God! The Lord, He is God! And then Elijah commanded them, Seize the prophets! The prophets of Baal, don't let them get away! And they seized them, and Elijah had them brought down to the Kishron Valley and slaughtered there. And Elijah then said to King Ahab, Go and drink, for there is sound of heavy rain. So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed up to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face towards between his knees. And go and look towards the sea, he told his servant. And he went up and looked, and there is nothing there. And he said seven times, Elijah. And seven times Elijah said, go back. And the seventh time, the servant reported, a cloud as a small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah, he said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Meanwhile, the sky grew dark with clouds and the wind rose and a heavy rain came on Ahab as he rode off to Jezreel. And then the power of the Lord came upon Elijah and tucked his cloak into his belt and he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. Wow. Father God, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for this Sunday as we can worship you each and every day. Lord God, we come before you just humbled by your power, humbled by your faithfulness, humbled by your goodness and your mercy, Lord God. Teach us, lead us, and show us the truth. And Father God, may you be glorified in this live stream, and may my brothers and sisters in Christ experience you, hear you, and also be filled up and built up. In Jesus' most holy name, amen. Wow, we can see here, there's been drought for 3 long years. People were in famine, there was no rain, there was no crop, there was even their animals, they were dying. And so here, Elijah comes back into the picture after 3 years and challenges the false prophets. And then they came forth and they proved that their God was not listening. But Elijah, at this showdown, God appeared with a large fire that consumed the whole altar, the animal, the wood, and the water, the trenches. Welcome everyone, amen. So before nightfall, the priest of the false god Baal stepped aside and allowed Elijah to come forth to make his approach to the Lord. And walking to the center stage before the massive crowd, Elijah gave a stunning and dramatic vindication of the Lord. He proved that the Lord alone is the one and true living God. Guys, what are some reflections that we can get from this? Well, number one is effective prayer. What a contrast between Elijah's prayer and the prayers of the prophets of Baal. Certainly, the false prophets in their bloodied frenzy were very earnest and passionate. But Elijah is not uncontrollably emotional. No, instead, he prepares calmly, builds an altar, arranges the wood, and orders that the water should be poured onto the altar several times. And his prayer is a deliberate and careful way that he prayed to the Lord God. It was deliberate and carefully worded. And the focus is not on himself, but on God. And Elijah's prayer is powerful because God is powerful. Your prayer is powerful because our God is powerful. The power of prayer that lies in one who hears, not in one who prays. The power of prayer lies in one who hears, not in the one who prays. When we pray, we do not need to feel the pressure to perform or to be perfect or to say it just correctly, as we need to correct the correct formula or words to get God's response. Instead, we can focus our eyes more on who we are praying to. And God is the hearer. He hears your prayers, and he knows your prayers, and he knows your needs even before you tell him. And so that's why we come before God each and every day, and we pray to him and allow him to speak to us and show us where we should go in our life, whether it's going towards a direction, towards a project, whether it's towards an assignment, whatever it is, God has good plans for us. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. How do you guys like this microphone so far? I just got it last night, and then I recorded one small video with it. And then, now this is my first live stream with this microphone. And so I give glory to God, for he is good, and his love endureth forever. Yeah, glory to God. Now, I've been doing this for 2 years. And how much money did I get? Zero. So I don't need money. I have money. I mean, God already met all my needs. He's already given me everything. And through prayer, man, that's even more powerful, even better than money, than gold, than silver, than anything you can ask for. And that's why we preach the word of God, which should be a sound like a sweet honey, or taste like sweet honey, and sound of something so good. And so that's why we're here, to just praise God for everything He's done for us, and not to stumble, not to look our head the other way and let our laziness show up and stop others from hearing the word of God. So I'm here to serve you, and I'm here to build God's kingdom, and I'm here to be His servant and to be an ambassador of God. Amen. So let's get back into this passage. This passage was about calling people to come as close as they could. Elijah, he rebuilt an altar on Mount Carmel that they had been laying in ruins. Most likely, it had been an altar that was built to worship the Lord Himself. But it was destroyed during Jezebel's purge, when Jezebel was trying to destroy the true prophets of the one true God, Yahweh. And she was killing them, slaughtering them. So they ran away and went into hiding, while false gods emerged. Whatever the case, Elijah still chose 12 stones, like the 12 tribes, 12 meaning like the perfect number, to represent and symbolize the 12 tribes of Israel. And he used the stones to build an altar. And note that he dug a large trench all the way around the altar. And then he piled wood on the altar and cut up the bull and laid it on the wood. And with this, the sacrifice would normally have been ready to be presented to the Lord. But in this case, Elijah surprised the crowd. He surprised you and me about what he's going to do next. He ordered men to fill 4 humongous large pots of water, then pour the water all over the offering and the wood. Then he had them do it a second time, and then a third time. And then when the men had finished, Elijah instructed them to repeat the procedure. And it was not enough. He had them do it the third time. And altogether, 12 large pots of water had been poured out onto the offering, onto the wood, which their God, the God Yahweh, is supposed to light on fire, which the false gods did not light the fire of the false prophets. But Elijah, I bet he was so confident that God is able to do abundantly, exceedingly above that you can ever imagine. What you can ever imagine, you can think, or you can ask. So much water has been poured out onto the entire altar that it was soaked, it was trenched, and completely filled with water all around it. And once the men completely doused the sacrifice with water, water and fire doesn't go together, right? Water cannot catch on fire. It can boil, evaporate. But why did Elijah do this? It's because Elijah wanted to show how strong, how mighty, how powerful his God is. And he wanted to show that there is no other God that besides his God. And this God is the same God that we worship. Amen? So you want to stick to the end because you want to hear the different lessons that we can take away from this so that it can grow you, build you up, and lead you towards the right direction. So Elijah, he stepped forward. He began to pray to the Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And that is, he prayed to God who given the covenant, the promise to the old patriarch of the old. And note that there's 3 things that he prayed for. Number 1, he prayed for the Lord to prove that He alone is God, and the God in Israel, and the God whom the people of Israel should be worshiping and serving. Number 2, that the Lord proved to Elijah that God's true servant was God's true servant, who's been appointed to predict the drought, and also to end the drought. And also before that happened, he wanted to show and stand to the people of Israel to prove that the Lord Yahweh was the one and true living God. Amen. You will stick to the very end. Amen. for the Lord. And number three is for the Lord to hear and answer his prayer so that the people would know that his God is the living God, which is stirring them to repent. Amen. Wow. Great. So suddenly, guys, a dramatic fire fell and it consumed not only the sacrifice, not only did the sacrifice completely get eradicated and burnt, but also the entire altar that was wet, dripping wet. Can you imagine it? Lapping up even the water in the trench. That's power. That's the power of our God. Our God who is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-wisdom, all-present. Our God who is greater above all things. And in the most dramatic way possible, the Lord heard Elijah's prayer and was proving that he and he alone was a true and living God. Witnessing the astounding miracle of the Lord, the people were stricken with fear and they were terrified, falling to the ground with their face down on the ground. The people cried out, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." They said it twice, not just one time. And Elijah immediately commanded the people to seize and execute the prophets of Baal, the false worshippers. Why execute them? Because their terrible sin and evil has ruined the nation and brought catastrophic suffering upon the people. It brought famine into the land. It brought hunger. It brought death. And it brought unending. The opposite of peace is turmoil. And no doubt the prophets were given over to their false beliefs that they would never repent, never change by turning to the Lord. Instead, they would continue to pollute the land with false belief and false worship, deceiving the people, leading them to suffer terrible consequences and eventually eternal doom. Wow. Amen. Big, you know, I know that the toilet is a tower defense in Roblox. But yeah, I have played it. I have beat the game. I've gotten to the top. But now I'm playing the game of ministry. And I'm here to share the gospel so that you can be saved in Jesus' name. Because Jesus loves you and Jesus cares for you. And he doesn't want you to suffer and be led astray as the false prophets did. Back to the passage. And at long last, the drought, famine were to end. For Elijah, he began to pray fervently for rain. And he instructed Ahab to go off someplace to eat a meal. For there was a sound of heavy rain off the distance. And while Ahab did what he was instructed by going back to the palace. Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel, where he bowed down to the ground and put his face between his knees, praying and crying out to the Lord to send rain and to end the drought. And arising, Elijah sent his servant to look towards the Mediterranean Sea for a rain cloud. But the servant, he saw no cloud. But note what Elijah did. He did not give up. Rather, he continued fervently praying to God. Oh, Lord, bring the water, bring the rain. It's been 3 years of famine, 3 years of drought. Come and bring your provision upon this land. Heal this land with your rain. And 7 different times he bowed down to the ground and put his face between his knee, continued to cry out to the Lord for rain and to the end of the drought and the famine. And what happened? After seeking the Lord for the 7th time, Elijah, he didn't give up. He was dramatically heard, and the Lord answered his prayer. Just like he sent fire to consume the whole sacrifice, he also sent rain to fill the land with his healing power, so that they no longer have to suffer from that famine. And so when the servant returned for the 7th time, he reported that there was a cloud as small as a man's hand, which was rising out over the sea. With this news, Elijah warned Ahab to rush back to the palace before the torrential downpour caught him. And as he was speaking, dark clouds began to appear, and strong winds began to blow. And Ahab and a massive crowd on Mount Carmel were witnessing another proof of the Lord's power and his sovereignty. The Lord Jehovah Jireh was now the one and true living God. Amen. And note that Ahab had jumped into his chariot and headed off toward Jezreel. Running ahead of the chariot was Elijah. Wow, Elijah, are you a track star? Are you running faster than the horses? That's insane. He ran and ran. He's so fast. Who has been energized, empowered by the Holy Spirit, by the Lord? And when he ran all the way to Jezreel, which was a distance of 13 miles, he ran 13 miles. Wow. And then in the words in this commentary, it says, what a momentous day it has been for the king. How his head must have reeled with the thoughts of the contest and the pitiful screams of Baal's helpless priests. The calm yet awe-inspiring petition of Elijah. The terrifying and spectacular holocaust that followed. The repentance of the people and the execution of pagan prophets. As Ahab rode along through the gathering downpour, the spirit-empowered prophet through whom God has effected was his great triumph ran ahead of the royal chariot like a scepter. Wow. Guys, what can we learn from this? There's so much to learn. Now, I know maybe some of you guys had a long Sunday. I just came from my Sunday morning, Sunday service, and then I also led a leaders meeting to plan out for the next month of June. Ooh, it's going to be so busy. Plus, baby pants coming out too. So, I don't know how it's going to happen, but by the grace of God, he still allowed me to be part of this journey with you guys and to be able to speak his word. I'm so tired. I normally take like afternoon naps because I'm exhausted at the end when I'm creating all these videos, planning for things, reading books. So, someone asked me, how old are you? Take a guess. What can you learn from this, my brothers and sisters? Number one, there's no other God but one. The Lord Yahweh, Jehovah, Jireh, El Shaddai, Almighty God, was the one and only true living God. All other gods are false, non-existent, helpless, and powerless to hear prayers or to answer prayers or to move or act on your behalf. These gods of money, materialistic things, they cannot work on behalf of you. We know that there's AI coming out, but still, AI is still not more powerful than our Lord, our God. If you are engaged in worshiping false gods, you are left alone in this world to face the problems and trials, the hardships and misfortunes, the temptations and seductions. You are left alone to face these difficulties by yourself. Naturally, if the God you are worshiping is a false god, and the god of your imagination, nothing more than a thought in your mind, then that god is lifeless and helpless and unable to deliver or to save you in this life, unable to give you life eternal in the next world. You see, after this death in the physical, there's going to be a death in the second. You either are eternally separated from God or you're eternally in his presence. And that is your choice. During this short lifetime in your life, 100 years, your life for 100 years, it's like vapor. It vanishes really quickly. And that 100 years is going to determine where you end up for eternity. Whether you choose Jesus, then you'll have an eternal relationship with him. If you don't choose Jesus and reject him and say no to him, then you'll have eternal separation from him. And so that's why it's so important that you walk in the ways of the Lord and say yes to Jesus forever. And Jesus today. Jesus today. Because without Jesus, we're still lost. We're still broken. Without Jesus, we cannot repent and atone for our sin, for our mistakes, for our transgressions, for doing things that are wrong. We may try to buy a way, may try to work our way, but no, we cannot. Sin is just too powerful. And that's why, let me tell you, that there is only one God. That one God is Yahweh, God himself. God the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity, the triune God. Just think about it. that is like water. There's three beings in one, three forms in one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is three in one. And then also, water is like, there's three forms. Is mist water? Yes. Is liquid water? Yes. Yeah. Is ice water? Those are all three forms of water. Just like that. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's one. I went to church today too. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's great. Praise God. And so, there's only one true living God. And God loves you so much that He revealed Himself to you. That He came from heaven to earth so that you can go from earth to heaven. So that you can have a relationship with Him. You see, the God we love is a God of love. Agape love. Unconditional love. He's a God of perfect love. And in perfect love, He revealed Himself through you. To you, through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the visible representation of the invisible God. So that you will know the truth. And the truth will exist in you. And the truth will set you free from the bondage of sin, shame, regret, for being lost. Set you free from the things of the world, from the devil. You're set free. And that's why He revealed Himself to you. To provide you salvation. Give you hope. Give you salvation. And God has revealed Himself through our Lord Jesus Christ, by sending Him into the world to save you, to teach you how to live. Yet, God has given you even more than just Christ. He also gave you the living Word. He also gave you the Holy Spirit. He's given you the written Word, the Holy Bible, which teaches you how to live a holy and righteous life. But even this is not all that God has given you. He's also given you His own very Holy Spirit to live within your bodies. Once you have accepted Him as your Lord and Savior and commit your life to Him and follow Him, the Holy Spirit is in you. He's your friend. He's your guide. He is the one that empowers you. The same Spirit that's in Christ that rose Him from the dead is in you. The same Spirit in Christ that helped Him heal the blind, drive out the demons, heal the lame, and heal the sick. Now it's living in you. The Lord has given you so many things so that it would be evidence that our God is true, that our lives are changed by His blood. And this testimony is a testimony of millions of people down through the ages who've truly been genuinely changed and saved by God. Millions have experienced a radical change in their life from total wickedness to lives of holiness and righteousness before God. And there's only one true living God, my brothers and sisters, and that is the Lord Himself, Yahweh, Jehovah. And listen to what the Word of God says. Wow, we're going to get into one of our favorite parts, into the Word of God. The Word of God is loud. The Word of God is alive. The Word of God is a guide for us and is to teach us His Word. So let us be inspired by it. Even when I'm tired, I'm probably going to take a nap after this because I have a meeting at 6:30 to 9:30 today, or 6 o'clock to 9. Man, I'm so tired, but still show up. And then later I have to make some shorts in order to serve you guys. So Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. But Jesus held His peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God, that you tell us whether you be the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said unto him, You have said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. He is the God which... He's coming back. The second coming of Christ is coming. And that's why we believe He's going to come back in triumph, in victory, even though He's already won. But we're going to see it even more. His glory will be upon us and with us as we go through life with Him. Amen. Acts chapter 14, verse 15. It says, and saying, "Men, why are you doing these things? We are not also men of the same nature as you, and preach the gospel that you should turn from these vain things to the living God, who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all the things in them." Wow. We should have this passion for God, to preach his name, to talk about him, to not be ashamed of him, because he is the living God. The living God who created the heavens and the earth. The living God who created all the plants and living things. The living God who created you and me. Do not be ashamed of him, for he is our creator. And we are to have a relationship with our creator. Our creator is not throwing us away. Our creator is not smashing us down. No, he's giving us a chance to live for him and with him, and a life that's fulfilled and life that is full in Christ. Amen. Acts chapter 17, verse 24. God made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwell not in temples made by men, made by hands. God is bigger than temples. God is bigger. He cannot be put into the box. He is bigger, stronger, more powerful. He is a God who is just beyond our minds. So that's why we look into some Bible verses and we try to understand who God is and what he's done for us. And we let him speak into our life so that we can grow in him and build our life upon his firm foundation, not upon our own selfish desires or our own faultiness. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 to 10. It says, "For they themselves reported about to us what kind of reputation we had with you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the warmth to come." No, from the wrath to come. Who saved you from the wrath of God? For all of us, we've been born into sin. All of us, we were born into sin. We are sinners. And the wages of sin is death. For all have fallen short of the glory of God. And the penalty, the punishment, the wage, the fee of sin is death. And that death is not just physical death. It's an eternal death. It's a physical. It's a beyond the physical, rather a spiritual death. Your soul is living inside you. And that's why you absolutely must walk in the ways of the Lord and turn back to him today to let him transform you, lead you, build you up in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. The reason why I'm closing my eyes is because my eyes are tired too. It's been a long day. Man, I don't know if I slept pretty well last night. No, not really. But hey, still, gotta go. Keep going. Keep going. Say, am I a sinner? Yes, you are a sinner. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have made mistakes. All have. Have you lied before? Have you stolen before? Have you done anything wrong before? We've all fallen short. We all have sinned. But the good news is, for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only begotten Son. Whoever shall believe in him shall not die, shall not perish, shall not experience that eternal separation from God, but have eternal life. Spider, it's not the end. By God's grace, he loves you so much that he sent Jesus, his Son, from his divinity, from heaven to earth, so that you can go from earth to heaven, so that you can have a relationship with him, so that you may not be alone and you may be filled up and your life can be transformed and given a new life. That's the God we serve. That's the God we love. And that's a God who never gives up on you. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 says, "By faith, or through faith, we understand that the worlds are framed by the word of God." The world was prepared by the word of God. See, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. "Let there be earth," and there was earth. "Let there be animals," and there was animals. "And so that things which are seen were not made for the things which do appear. So that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible." What was made? It was, he made things out of It was not. He's not tied down to time, matter, and space. So he's bigger than it all. Amen. You're sleepy too. It's been a long day. Shawana, you and me, we're together. Amen. Elizabeth Wilson, yeah. Praise the Lord. James, hello. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. We're going to be done soon. But this is too good to not share. It's too good. That's why we throw that thumbs up and we say, we like this. And we say, Jesus forever. Jesus first forever. Amen. Amen. Get some rest. Yes, yes. I love it. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 says, and by faith you understand that the world is not framed by the word of God, so that the things that are seen are not made of things that do appear. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11, for in this way, the entrance into eternal kingdom, into eternal life of our Lord Jesus Christ shall be abundantly supplied to you. It will be abundantly supplied to you. Amen. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. And I am an Alpha, Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Amen. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 40 says, I lift my hand up to heaven and say, I live forever. You see, death is not the end. Death is the beginning of eternity. Death is the beginning of our relationship in the full presence of God. Even though we can have the presence of God here, but when we die, we know that's not the end. We know that our body fades away, but our soul continues going forward. Amen. Rose says, I like your videos. It's nice about God. Praise God. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6. It says, thou, even thou, you alone are God. You alone are the Lord, and you made the heavens. You made the heavens of the earth, and you made the heaven of heavens with their hosts. The earth and that all that is on it, the sea and all that is in them, and you give life all to all of them, and the heavenly host bows down before you. James says, I love your videos. Praise God. Amen. Job chapter 12, verse 9 says, who knows, who among you knows that the hand of the Lord, what he's done? Amen. Thy name, O Lord, endures forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. Amen. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, all your works, that my soul knoweth right and well. My soul knows that you are so good. You are so marvelous, and you made all things and all people. Amen. The kingdom, thy kingdom, your kingdom, is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion, your dominion, Lord, endures throughout all generations. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. And he has made everything beautiful in his time, and he has set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the works that God makes for them from the beginning to the end. So that which God has done, so that man will not find out the work which God has done from beginning to the end. And last of all, Daniel chapter 6, verse 26, before we go to our application questions, it says, and I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before God of Daniel, for he is the living God, the steadfast forever, and his kingdom which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. Wow, God is so good. And so he created the heavens and the earth. He made a way when there was no way. And he's the one that brought you salvation. And that's why we keep on praising him, giving him all glory. Amen. Thank you for the encouragement, says Daniel. Says, don't worry about messing up. You're awesome. Thank you, thank you. Well, glory to God. God is the one that's awesome. He's the one that's so good. Thank you for the encouragement. Amen. Today we have two application questions instead of four. It is, and then we have a letter to pray for Yemen. And actually, before we get to that application question, Yemen It has a population of $30.4 million. The capital is Sana'a, and there is 99% Muslim and 1% Hindu. And Yemen, my brothers and sisters, is struggling with ongoing wars, political unrest. Only half of the country's hospitals are functional, where there is limited clean water and widespread diseases that are causing preventable deaths. Only 0.2% are Christians, and anyone discovered openly practicing the faith is severely persecuted, even killed or kicked out of the house. In spite of such restrictions and hardship, Christians are finding a way to gathering, and the church continues to grow in Yemen. So we gotta pray. Pray for better living conditions for the Yemeni people, and praise God for the church's boldness and its growth. Yeah, let me pray. Lord God, we lift up Yemen to you. We pray that you would allow these people who follow you and walk in your ways to be protectors, to allow them to have your provision and your healing power. And Lord God, I pray that they would just continue being a light for you, continue being steadfast in you, continue growing in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we also pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ, that you build them up in the name of Jesus. You let them grow and build their life upon your firm foundation. Lord God, we thank you that you are victorious over all, that you never lack, and that you can consume the whole altar, the sacrifice, with fire. Your power is so great. And so, Lord God, we thank you for that. We also see that Elijah called upon the rain, and there was a cloud, and rain started pouring down. You're the God of the fire, of the wind, of nature. You're the God of the rain, and you're the God above everything else in the world, and you are my God, my King, and we thank you for everything you've done. And Father God, let us commit our life to you 100%. Let us walk in your ways, praying to you, reading the Bible, building your kingdom, building your community. Let us continue hearing your word each and every day, for you never lack, and you're so good. So Lord, we thank you for your word and for your encouragement. As we continue going through application questions, Lord, teach us, lead us, and build us up. Let us have a good week that is rooted in you. Let us experience your provision and protection, your healing, and your wisdom, understanding, knowledge, discernment, in everything that we do, Lord. Lord, we depend on you, and we trust you, we love you, because there is no one else like you, no one above you, in Jesus' most holy name. Amen. And amen. Glory to God. Yeah. You go to school tomorrow. How old are you guys? James, have a good time. I know school is almost over too. Yeah, Zodiac says amen. Amen. Elizabeth Wilson says amen. Shawana says, yes, Lord, please protect your people in Yemen. Yes, let them be peacekeepers. There's turmoil. There's darkness because without God, man, the whole system implodes. There's corruption. Like when they took God out of the school system, out of the state system, out of the government system, presidential system, oh man, stuff are happening. It's just so hard. Life gets harder. But, you know, in the end, God prevails and he's more powerful and there's no worries because he is in charge. So, what's the question? How confident are you that God will answer you when you pray? And why? Well. I believe that God answers my prayers 100%. He either says yes, or he says yes, or he says yes. God is so good. You see, God answers the prayer of a righteous man. He answered all of my prayers. And when you're right with God and you have a heart after God, then you will pray the right prayers and he will answer your prayers in the name of Jesus. Amen? He's a God who answers. He's a God who rewards. He's a God who comes through for you. He's a God of breakthrough. He's a God who is all-powerful, a God who's all-knowing, of all wisdom, God who's all-wealthy. He said in Exodus chapter 19, verse 5, earth is mine. Haggai chapter 2, verse 9 says, silver is mine, gold is mine. God is the creator of the heaven and the earth. He's the creator of all things. He lacks nothing. And he says, you can say, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not lack. I shall not want, because I do not lack. He guides me by still water. The lake makes me lay down on green pasture. He gives me more than enough. Amen. Shawana says, amen. We love the Lord. Amen. My two favorite puppies are in heaven. Well, yeah. Well, I know it's not easy, but God still loves you. And amen. Sherry, hello. I see you. I see you. So will God answer my prayers? You know, God went beyond my prayer. He said, I will do us exceedingly, abundantly, beyond your imagination, beyond what you ask and what you think. That's what God did. He did even before I spoke it. But when you speak it, that's your faith working. Your faith is moving your mouth. Your faith is moving your mouth, your action, your thoughts, your mind. Your faith is moving. God is moving you. So I'm confident that God will answer me when I pray. I know for sure that God answers prayers. And God is powerful and above all things, everyone. Amen? Yeah. Hello, hello. How am I? I'm great. I'm fantastic. Thank you. Any questions? Any comments? Any prayer requests? Let me know. He said, I saw God in my sleep, Rose. Amen. Hey, that's great. God is with you in your sleep, protecting you, loving you, guiding you, empowering you. Shawana says, our soul praise the Lord. Amen. God is good. We praise the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, mind, and strength. Everything that we have, it's God's, because He never lets us down, and He always, always comes through for us. Amen? Amen. God is great. He never lets us down, and He blesses you, and He loves you. Hello, Trucker Zach. Good to see you. How are you doing? Glory to God. We're just glorifying Him with our words, with our mind, with our works. And I tried to get on TikTok today, but it was still banned until 2.5 hours later now, 6:30 p.m. PST time. So I'm still waiting for it. Hello, Kelsey Roth. Good to see you. God is always with us. He never lets us down. And He builds us up. And He gives us more than enough. And that's why we don't have to be looking for the world, chasing the things of the world to satisfy us. No. Things happen for us, not to us. Things happen for us because God has good plans. And then we live in the gain. We don't live in the gap. We live in the gain. We know the achievement, the process that God has led us through in order to get where we are now. Amen. And the process, God was in every detail. God was there. And God built me up through the hardships, through the trials, through the pain, through these things, so that I can be His servant, be fruitful, multiply, and be here with you guys. So this not by accident. So yeah, thank you everyone for joining me, for your thumbs up, for your just like encouragement, for typing here. And Zach says, I am good. I am always good when God is in my life. Amen. You see, when God was in my life, even when I was a lukewarm Christian at first, it was good. But that was because of His divine blessings and generational blessings. But then when I went astray for a year, man, that was the worst time of my life. Division, pain, toxic relationship. It was so bad. And so when I came back to Him, I started from ground zero, lost my two jobs, lost everything, all alone. But I did not lose God. God was still there. And there He built me up. There He blessed me. And there He added to me. And I can only give glory to God that He was my breakthrough. And now I don't need breakthrough. I carry breakthrough. Because Jesus is breakthrough. And I carry Jesus in my life. And you carry breakthrough because you have Jesus in your life. And He is breaking you through. He helped you breakthrough. And now you go from season to season of breakthrough to breakthrough. Season to season of glory to glory, not glory to shame. His glory is abundant. His glory is great. So you go from glory to glory, strength to strength, victory to victory. You go. You go, my brothers and sisters. I am imparting this upon you as well. Glory to God. Amen. Yeah. God is good. Kaylee. Yes. Amen. Well, it says, God given a choice between to go home or to stay. And my choice was to go home. My choice is to go home to his presence, to his love. Amen. Hello, Lady Golston. Good to see you. Well, I'm going to be going because I'm exhausted. But tomorrow we have another session, another great session. And it's going to be continuing with the story of Elijah and how Elijah was able to actually, I believe he was chased down and fell into great depression. So there's highs, there's lows in life, but you know, God is constant. He's a constant in our life. And so yeah, even though I'm exhausted, I will do some pull-ups because I want to encourage you guys to grow physically, mentally, spiritually, to be healthy. But I don't know, I did pull-ups earlier too. So I'm exhausted, I'm tired. Ugh. But you guys want to see me do pull-ups? Yeah? Let me drink some water. Let me stand up so I don't get like a brain rush or like brain rush. But, here it goes. All right, stretch. You can count for me. You can count how many. Okay. That's all I could do now. My love, my good. God is so good. Lord God, I thank you for this day. Thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you for all you've done for me. And Lord, I give you all glory. Thank you for my health. Lord, I pray that I can continue ministering to everyone here so that we can plant the seeds of the gospel and save more souls so people can say, Jesus forever. Type Jesus forever. Jesus forever. Jesus first forever, amen. Oh, glory to God. All right, 21, James, thank you. Yeah, I counted 21 too. Yeah, God is good. Thank him. So, Jesus forever. So, you guys have a great one. May you be blessed, be healthy. I know I have ways. I also have to take care of my health too, but we got to do it for God. Amen. Amen. All right. Take care. And I'll see you tomorrow and see you next time. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you.